In case you didn't know the song, it's the Ancient of Days. Amen. And He is the Ancient. That's what the Bible says. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the one that was and is to come. Amen. He's the everlasting God. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You folks on this side are going to have to praise the Lord louder, because for some reason my ear is stopped up on this side. So when you're talking to me, if I go like this, you know why. Amen. So anyway, pray for me. I can't stand it when that happens. I feel like I'm in a, I don't know, closed in space. I don't know where it came from, but anyway, I'm going to send it somewhere. Try to. John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. Praise the Lord. If you have it, can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. I heard it. I heard it. Even with the bad ear, I heard it. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. And the Bible says, As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That the works of God should be made manifest in him. And of course, if you read the rest of the story, you will understand that Jesus took the ground and he made it and spit in it, if you will, and he placed it upon the man's eyes, and he anointed him and then told him to go and wash his face, and the man could see. That's the result of what took place. But I really want to deal with that phrase that I read to you in verse 3, where it says, And the works of God should be made manifest in him. And I just want to preach just for a little while on the subject, God made manifest through your mess. God made manifest through your mess. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we just give you the glory right now. God, we praise you and thank you right now, God, for your glory and your honor and your presence, Almighty God. And we pray in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you will manifest yourself in this place, Almighty God. And Father God, we look to you, Lord God, as our source of strength, as our help and our comforter. We thank you, Almighty God, that you abide in us, O God. And Father God, we look to you right now. Anoint, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, God made manifest through your mess. If you understand anything about your God, you will understand that that most of the time in your good times, that God hardly does not manifest. It's not because he's not there, but you notice the manifestation and the presence of Almighty God when you're going through something bad than when you're going through something good. I mean, it's just a fact of life. It is a fact of the way God works, that while we're up on the mountaintop experience, we have a tendency to recognize God just a little bit, but we never really appreciate who God really is and what he can really do until we get down in the valley and get in some mess. Until we get down in the valley and we have to understand that if God doesn't pull me through this, I shall die. Amen. That if God doesn't help me, then I'm going to have to go out of my mind. But I thank God that that old song says that the God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. Praise God. The same God that brought you up high is the same God that will help you while you're down low. God manifests Himself. In fact, it is almost as if God looks for opportunities to work in the midst of your mess, because He knows that He'll get the glory out of that mess that you're going through. Do we like going through the mess? Absolutely not. I can't think of one sane person in this place, including the preacher that's up on the platform, that likes to go through mess. But I will tell you that when I have come out of the fire, and when I've been tried in the fire, the book said I shall come out as pure gold, because I've been tried in the fire, because I know that the same God that was with me up on the mountain is the same God that's with me down in the valley, and is pulled me up by His glory and His power and His strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. One man testified it like this. He said, God won't let anything happen to us in our life unless He has a good purpose for it all. I completely gave my life to Christ at the age of 15. And he goes on to say, I now see that glory, His glory is revealed, and He's using me just the way I am, and in ways others can't be used. Now, that would sound like from somebody that's just a typical common kind of believer. But do you know that the man that said those words, he ain't got no legs, and he ain't got no arms. Hello? And yet he says that the same God that helps you folk that got arms and legs is the same God, not a different one, the same God that helps me and uses me for His glory and His goodness and His mercy and His power. And he said this, he went on to say this, if I can trust God in my circumstances, surely you can trust God in your circumstances. Can you say amen tonight? Because God is with us, and He's with us everywhere we go, and we need to be able to trust God, because God wants to manifest Himself in our mess. He wants to show up. If anything, just to say hello. He wants to show up and prove that He's God in the midst of our mess. The text that I read to you tonight, and I would love to exegetically and expound upon everything that I can try to expound upon, but I can't try to expound upon all of it, but I'm going to just give you in a nutshell of what's going on in the text, because the same situation is happening here in this text. There is a mess, and there is a master, and there is a manifestation, and that's the three M's that I'm going to give you tonight. There's a mess, and there's a master, and there's a manifestation. Number one, I like to deal with the bad stuff and get it out the way first. There is a mess. There is a mess. The man was blind from birth. It wasn't that he was just impaired, like some of you have glasses on. It wasn't that he was just impaired. It wasn't that he was, at one time he could see and then he became blind. No, he was blind from birth and could not see a thing. I don't know if anybody realizes it or not, and you better thank God for your vision, but he was in a mess. He could not see. He had never been able to see anything in his life. He had been born. In fact, we understand that he is an older man, because he says that the man was blind from birth, that he was in a mess. And then to complicate the matter, don't you love people? I love people. Because to complicate the matter, the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, come on, tell us now, Jesus, something's got to be wrong with him. Which one sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin? But somebody has got to be at fault. Somebody has got to be the blame of this whole thing. Did he sin or did his parents sin? Come on, Jesus. I know you got to be honest with us now. It was one or the other that caused it. Either he sinned when he was a child. No, he couldn't have done that because he was blind from birth. And I know that 2 or 3 year olds can be a little mischievous, but I don't think they understand the concept of sin. He was blind from birth. Amen. He was blind from birth. Did his parents sin? No. He just said his parents didn't sin. Can I ask you something? Why does it always have to be that somebody is at fault? In other words, can I ask you this? Do you understand that our president has been blamed for 9/11? I wouldn't want to be him. Sometimes I don't want to be me, but I really don't want to be him. He's been blamed for 9/11. He's been blamed for Katrina. I still ain't figured that one out. That one man can cause a hurricane. He's been blamed for Katrina, and who knows what else he's been blamed for. I know he's not the most perfect man. In fact, he ain't even close hardly to the most perfect man. But yet there's this whole concept that if we're not blaming the president, we're blaming God. Why, God, did you allow 9/11 to happen? Why, God, are there the tornadoes that ripped through the country just over the past few days and have torn up land and killed lives? Why, God, did the typhoons happen in Myanmar? Why, God, did 9/11 have to happen? Why, God, did the earthquake have to take place in China? Why? What kind of a God would allow this? Did we ever stop to think that God could be using each and every one of these incidents so that people would turn from their sin, repent, and give God the glory? Listen, I'm not one of these like some famed preachers that have been in the news recently. I won't call no names, but I'm not one of these that says that God has cursed America. But can I tell you, I believe that God has allowed some things to happen so that why did heaven, New Orleans, come underwater? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. But why did God allow it to happen? Could it be because they have Mardi Gras? Could it be because they have allowed their sin to take over their lives? Could it be that God was trying to warn them and give them the opportunity to repent and turn from their wicked ways? And yet, what do you see happening back in New Orleans? They've rebuilt. They ain't learned the first time. I don't know that they'll learn a second time. But I guarantee you, when the Bible says that God will not destroy this place, this earth, by flood, but the next time He's destroying it is by fire, they'll understand and learn then that God had given them every opportunity that they could to repent and turn from their wicked ways. Can I dig a little deeper and draw a little closer here? Why do I have to go through some of the things that I have to go through? Why do I have to go through the difficult things in my life, or you have to go through some of the difficult things in my life? Could it be possible that God is trying to wake you up and straighten you out so that you will repent and start to live right? Oh, why, Lord, make my children saved? Could it be that in order for them to get saved, they need to see something in you? Now listen, please don't misunderstand me, because I'm not talking about every situation and every case, and I know every case is different, but I guarantee you there are some cases where some people are claiming the name of Jesus and yet they ain't. Could it be? Why, Lord, do I have to go through this sickness or disease? Why, Lord, do I have to go through this cancer? Could it be that God is trying to wake us up so that He can be manifested in our mess, so that His glory can be manifested in the midst of our lives? Could it be that God is using the down mess and the sickness and disease to bring Himself glory in our lives? Why do you think that you have gone through some of the things? Does anybody remember what it felt like to be convicted by the Holy Ghost? Thank you, John. By the only one of us. It wasn't very much a pleasant feeling, was it? You tossed and turned and fought and snorted and snotted and everything else. And it was like that God had you turned every which away but loose. Can I tell you, there was a reason for that? It was so that one day you could bend the knee at an old-fashioned altar and give your life over to Jesus Christ. There's a reason why we have the mess. It's so God can be manifested in our mess. And sometimes it ain't got, because we're so self-centered, we'll put our thumbs behind our lapel and sing that old song that nobody cares about me and nobody loves me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and nobody knows my sorrow. Every now and then, it ain't got nothing to do with you. Amen, preacher. I heard it from this ear. Every now and then, it ain't got a single solitary thing to do with you. Did this man sin or did his parents? Not a one. But so that God could show off. So that God could have his way in the midst of the lives of his people. That's why this man was born blind. I know he may have had to live 30 and 40, maybe even 50 years or so in total darkness. But he lived those 50 years in total darkness so that one day a man by the name of Jesus Christ could show up on the scene just to prove that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob wasn't dead. But he's alive. He's alive. And bless God, he's still alive today. He's still alive today. That's the mess. Here's the master. Here is the master. And I thank God for the master. Anybody thank God for the master tonight? I thank God for the master. Because here's the beauty of it. And you really only need to read one phrase. And that's back in verse 1. And it says this: and Jesus passed by. And Jesus passed by. I was going through cancer and Jesus passed by. I was in the accident, but Jesus passed by. They were about to take the house, but y'all ain't coming with me. Jesus passed by. I was about to lose my mind, but Jesus passed by. My child was fixing to be taken away, but Jesus passed by. I was diagnosed with this disease or that disease, but Jesus passed by. I wish somebody in the house would thank God for Jesus passing by. That Jesus, that Jesus passed by, that he passed by and he saw a blind man, and in his compassion and in his heart he felt compassion toward the blind man. Thank God that blind man was shouting, thank God Jesus passed by. What is the old song, the old chorus? Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear my heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I thank God tonight that Jesus, the Master and the Savior, the one who can calm the winds and the waves, he's passing by. He's passing. He's passing by. And he wants, all he wants to do is to touch your life tonight in the midst of your mess. And there's some mess going on. I don't know about anywhere else, but there's some mess going on. And Jesus wants to pass by and touch your need and touch your life. Here is the manifestation. Now, if you might still be able to shout, I don't know. But if you were going to shout, back then was the time to do it. Because here is the manifestation. He said, Jesus said this. He said that neither did this boy sin, this man sin, nor did his parents sin, but that the works of God could be made manifest in the midst of him. I looked up that word manifest, Sister Gal. I looked it up of the word manifest. It means this. It means to take something that was once hidden and show it. In other words, before Jesus came on the scene, they didn't know of a God who could heal the blinded eyes. But because Jesus came on the scene, he took something that was once hidden and showed it. And manifest himself. Can I tell you, I thank God tonight that he took some things that were hidden and manifest himself. And you know, I realized, and this is where we're going to get down to the nitty gritty right here, and then I'm going to close, because I realized something, that God wants to do more than what he's showing us. I have myself, because I've been in this thing now for 14 years, and I have myself, and many of you have. We have cried and cried. Some of us have. Some of us have cried and cried to see a Pentecost like they had on the day of Pentecost. Some of us have cried and cried to see revival like they used to have, that would go on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and not just one or two people get saved. Multitudes of people come in and get saved. There was a revival back, I believe, and several of you had gotten saved in the midst of that revival. And we cry and cry and cry, and that's all we do. Because we'll say, I want those days, but I don't want to do what they did to get those days. Come on, somebody. I want the altars filled, and I want them on fire, and I want them, the people to be slain in the spirit and speaking in tongues and healings to take place and love to be manifest. Oh, I want all of those things to happen the way they happened back then. But do you understand, they had to do some things for those things to happen the way they happened back then, and we're not doing them. We're not doing them. God wants to manifest. He wants to show you more of himself. See, you have to understand this, and I know I'm digging a little deeper than what I wanted to dig, but you have to understand this, and that is the fact that all throughout the Old Testament, God could only reveal parts of himself. To Abraham, he revealed that he was Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. To Moses, he revealed himself as Jehovah Nissi, the God who is our banner. To Hagar, he revealed himself as the God who sees her. One place he revealed himself as the God of righteousness and the God of sanctification. And one place he revealed himself, Isaiah said, he was wonderful and counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father. But they never had the full picture of who he was until Jesus came. Because in him was the fullness of everything that was in the Old Testament. Now, if in him was in the fullness of everything that was in the Old Testament, and he's gone up to heaven, and he said, greater things will you do because I go to my Father. And he sent down the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Then there are some things that God wants us to have and to experience that we're not seeing because we're not doing what they did to get it. Can I just go through some of these things, and maybe it'll cause us to just seek the face of God. Number one, the reason why we cannot see the hidden things of God, and the reason we can't see God manifested in our mess, is because, number one, we don't pray. We don't pray. We do not pray the way they prayed. We do not, I'm not talking necessarily even about the way grandma and grandpa prayed. We don't pray the way they prayed in the day of Pentecost. And that's why we don't see the manifestation. When God, even in America, when God can take a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, and that same man, under the anointing of God, can pick up a dead body and say, live, and life came into the dead body. Can I tell you the reason why? It's because he prayed. He prayed. Between that and praying, he also said there was somebody that was going to come and visit his house, and he had a newspaper in his hand. He said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave that outside the door. The only thing we read in this house is the Bible. No wonder he could throw somebody up against the wall and they live. Hello? We don't pray. We'll come around the altar. We'll spend 5 minutes in prayer, and that's it. If we in our home life, and please don't. Well, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I feel, and that is I can almost tell you that almost everybody in this place, almost we our prayer life is like this. If we can squeeze a few minutes in. We might squeeze a few minutes in the morning, or we might squeeze a few minutes in the night. And if we squeeze a few minutes in the night, then we'll go to bed, go to sleep, and that's it. That's a few minutes. When they prayed for hours. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he was thrown into the lion's den. I would scarcely wonder. I'd be afraid for not only for you all, but I'd be afraid of myself, because I wouldn't think that I'd be ready to be thrown in the lion's den. We do not pray. Therefore, when we don't pray, God is going to keep hidden those things from us. Number two, the reason why we cannot see and will not see God manifest himself in our mess is because there is not a reverence for God like there used to be. Let me tell you something. The Bible says this, that Jesus, I believe it's in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, that Jesus went in to his own people and he said this. They laughed at him and mocked at him and said, wait a minute, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't that, I mean, this is Jesus. We saw Jesus. You saw Jesus running around like a little boy. And, I mean, you know, this is Joseph's boy. This is the carpenter's son. This is, well, I mean, who does he think he's supposed to be? All he's ever learned is a trade by a carpenter's son. I mean, you know, who does he think he's supposed to be? And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor in his own country. And then the Bible goes on to say that he could do no mighty works, because they did not reverence him for who he was. Let me tell you something. When we come to this house, we had better be respectful of who he is. I'm not talking about coming in like a bunch of dead, dried beet, you know, deadbeat, kind of dry-rooted people. I'm talking about coming in with a reverence for who God is, that this is God's. That this is not a den of thieves, nor is it a den for gossip. That we need to be prepared to come into this place and worship God for who he is. Jesus walked into the temple, and some would think this would be unfair and unjust of Jesus to do, but it was in holy and righteous anger that he came, and he overturned the tables, and he cracked the whip on the backs of those that were selling in the midst of the temple, and he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. We need reverence for God. Number three, we cannot see God reveal himself. Or let me put it in the positive instead of in the negative. The only way we will see God reveal himself and manifest himself in the midst of our mess is when we get our hearts right. Every person in this place, when we get our hearts right before God, I can't help but think over and over again, if my people who are called by my name, you will find in the testaments, in the Old Testament, you will find this if and then. See, too many people, they want to shout on the then, but they don't want to go through the if. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a mandate. If my people who are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves, if they shall pray, if they shall seek my face, if they shall turn them from their wicked ways, then I, and not before, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. But if you don't, then I will not hear you. I will not hear you. You can be as holy as you want to be, as righteous as you want to be, have as many merit badges for Jesus that you want to have. But unless you have humbled yourself and prayed and sought His face and turned from your wicked ways, He will not hear. That's Bible. He will not hear. But when I have made myself available for Him, and I have humbled myself in the midst of His presence, and I have turned and gotten my heart. This is what David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any way. You already know what it's about, but see if there be any wicked way inside of me. Search my heart, O God. I told you if you were going to shout, you should have shouted back then. Search my heart, O God, and make sure there's nothing in the way. Because I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to come up in the midst of mess. He's not going to come up in the midst of mess because He's not going to come where He's not recognized and He's not reverenced. We need to come around this altar. Because let me tell you something. There is some mess that people have gotten their lives, they ain't got no control over it. Nobody has control when they have cancer. Nobody has control when a loved one passes away. No one has control over those kind of situations. And God wants to manifest Himself in that mess. He wants to manifest Himself. Does anybody believe this tonight? That He wants to manifest Himself in the midst of this church? That He wants... Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Does He want to manifest Himself in the midst of this church? Then we had better get right with Him. Because if not, He will not show up. Stand with me, please. I want us to come. I'm going to make an altar up here for myself. In case anybody was worried about whether or not I was going to pray, I'm going to make an altar up here for myself. I think we need to come. I think we need to come around this altar. We need a move of God. We need a move of His Spirit. We need to get right with Him.